Dramatica analysis of Singin' in the Rain, recorded July 13th, 2010, led by Chris Huntley. Tonight's movie was Singin' in the Rain with Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor.
Debbie Reynolds.
And Debbie Reynolds. Wasn't it her first film? I think it was.
I didn't recall.
It was her first film. Anyway,
amazing really part for her first film.
Yeah, really.
She's very, very good. Nice.
Oh, very confident. Yeah.
Let's identify the four through lines. The overall story is what? I'm singing in a rap.
Adjusting to the needs of being a career in show business.
Expand a little bit. What events?
Personal adjustment to being successful in the show business.
Well, not personal. We're talking about the overall story. So there's the industry is dealing with. You're right, but there's a big upset in the industry. What is that?
Talking movies.
Yeah, adjusting.
To the talking
movie.
Yeah.
I'll say surviving the talkie transition.
Transition to talking.
Thank you.
Oh, great! That's going to sound terrific. So surviving the transition.
This is for people listening to the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, see, you brought mints. What, did you know I had garlic today?
All right. Main character.
Who is the main character?
Gene Kelly.
What was his name? Don. Don Lockwood?
Yes.
Okay.
Don Lockwood.
Gary did.
And the impact character?
Carrie Fisher's mother. A couple of times you kind of almost had those things.
Debbie, who's also known as...
Debbie Reynolds.
Is it Kathy?
Yes, Kathy is the character.
Selden. It was confusing because then Rena Moreno's in there. She's named Zelda. And then they name her Miss Selden. So it was a little confusing.
But they mostly talk about her as Kathy.
Yeah, he does.
Well, they say Miss Selden a lot.
And the... relationship for a line?
What is that?
Love story romance.
Yep. Love story.
All right.
Let's do the numbers. Main character resolve. Danger, steadfast, and why?
Good question.
It is.
change.
That's half the answer.
Because I don't know if I really understand the changing stuff. But anyway, because he's thinking that he's going to leave film because he's no good as an actor, and also this new technology is on the scene. It's persuaded by the other characters to stay and persist.
Okay, now that would... usually the change in steadfast is part of the argument between the main and impact character, as opposed to just the rest of the staff. So that might be why the actor stays on, but what is the main character dealing with? I know this is really hard.
This one
really
is not obvious.
It's a really lightweight movie. So.
I think there's, well, the thing is, I think a lot of the story points are pretty obvious, but this one is not to me. But, so I'm kind of thinking out loud, but if you look at him at the beginning, he opens basically telling, Fawcett about how he got to where he is, all right, because he was saying one thing and the pictures, you know, the images were saying another thing, but...
he was living a lie.
Well, and when Debbie Reynolds comes into the picture, when Kathy comes into the picture, she basically hits him with, oh, you're not a real actor, you're just showy, you're just being showy. So she's sort of throwing this attitude on, which makes him question if he's kind of legitimate.
Right, you're just shadows on the screen.
Right. So he starts to question whether or not he is kind of valid. But if you look at the end, it was sort of like, it starts off, he's all impressed with his celebrity. She's not. But at the end, I don't think he changes from that position. I don't think he he's not suddenly changing his ways. I'm not going to be involved in my celebrity anymore. What he wants to do is pass it on to her, and sort of boost her into the ranks of celebrityhood and get her to embrace that. Again, I'm just thinking out loud, which seems to me that would make. If that's what the theme of the story is, and I'm not sure it is, but if that's the theme of the story, then that seems like it. That would make him the steadfast character and her the change character.
Okay.
And that she's now embracing celebrityhood, and you know.
But she isn't. She says, "I'll do my job, but don't ever talk to me again, on or off screen."
But that's not
when when she is revealed to be the celebrity that she is, she runs.
Yeah.
Because she, for her, it's not about celebrity. It's about performing. And she loves performing, and the reason she does theater is because it's real. And the thing she hates about where she is at the end of the movie, why she basically wants, she'll do her job, but she doesn't want to have anything to do with that world, is because it's fake. And what he's at that point, he's done, is he has construed to remove all the falseness from his perceived life, you know, by raising the curtain, by identifying her as the source of the voice and the inspiration, all that stuff. He has not so much transferred it to her, but he has, for himself, he's made it that this isn't important to me. Which is where she was at the very beginning and where she is pretty much at the end. The reason she comes back has nothing to do with him being a star. It happens to be that he's being real.
Okay.
Now, she misinterpreted his order to, his demand to sing. She felt that he was perpetuating the lie.
Okay.
But when she sees that that's not really what he was doing, he was using the blonde's ambition against her, and set up his, you know, ne'er do well love interest, quote unquote. Then that's what brings her back, you know, to him, not to necessarily work. So I think that he would not. He's not somebody who would do that. And I think one of the reasons they have the Donald O'Connor character there the whole time, who's asking for him to share some of his stardom, some of the benefits of being famous, and when he doesn't, he has no problem setting his friend up to get mobbed and sort of suffer the consequences of being famous. So I think that you have that friend right next to him. If he was to show that he's not someone who shares, he is not someone who takes that celebrity and uses that effort to show how good other people are. He just uses that their talents to make him look better, and that's what his relationship is with the blonde too, and his co-star. He's using her to look better, and he keeps from talking because that would diminish the appearance of what they are. And of course, she uses that to her own advantage too, although she's obviously delusional about people's real understanding of who she is. But I think that in an arc that is terribly small,
mm-hmm.
And very simplistic, I think that's what they were going for. I agree with Helen. I do think it's supposed to be a changed story. And I think looking to Kathy is absolutely seems to be a steadfast character. She doesn't want to have anything to do with this, the shadows on the screen, except in that it's a way for her to really explore her acting and being true, really doing drama, not doing, you know, melodrama. So, that would be...
Yeah, it was hard to interpret because, you know, the moment, the key moment is there, okay, you know, stop that girl... And then he starts, I think the song was "You Are My Lucky Star," and
yeah.
She turns around and tears are coming down her face. And then they cut to the billboard. It's like, okay, how am I supposed to read that? You know, and that's why.
I think that's your you know outcome.
Right. But I mean, in terms of who's changing, who's steadfast, there, it's like, well, okay, I guess if you say that Don is sort of risking himself, risking his own image to pump somebody else up, and that's something he wouldn't have done at the beginning. Or the fact that again they introduce the character as someone who kind of lies about who he is, innocent, right?
Yeah, not
yeah.
Either.
And then at the end he's completely truthful. So okay, yeah, I can.
And it's truthful, not in the sense that's going to get him anything. But truthful because he doesn't care. It doesn't matter.
Well, be truthful because it's better for her and not him. Better for her for him to reveal the truth, and it's not. It's about her career, not his, at that point.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Is that okay? That's what you meant, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Main character approach: doer or beer?
Doer.
Okay.
Yeah, doer.
And why?
Because
he dances.
Because he knows what needs to be done, and he's in the process of doing it.
For instance.
He sees the movie that she did. It'd be a disaster being in the movie, and so he suggested to have Kathy replace her with her voice.
Of course, the idea is actually, what's funny is that, you know, first she's the one who gets the idea to turn into a musical.
Yeah.
And then Donald O'Connor is the one who gets the idea to replace the voice. But they're telling him because he's the protagonist because, you know, they're telling, because he's the doer. He's the one who's going to go out and do it, convince the studio head
Remember, this is going to be more about the main character, not his protagonist, but his main character. So in his own life, I'm not saying he's not a doer. I'm just saying, so give me examples that are from things that are personal.
Well, he wants to express something to the girl, so he takes her into the soundstage. Turns on all the lights and the fog machine and the wind machine and, you know, and creates this external environment in order to say, you know, express something to her.
Okay.
So, I forget what the song was, but, you know.
And when he realizes that he's made a mistake, he does everything to try to find her. He's, you know, he goes out. I mean, literally, he's doing everything he can to track her down. He gets the fans that are coming on to him. He runs away. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, physically runs away.
And jumps into this car.
Right. So, you know, jumps up on the bus. So, you know, so he definitely, that's his modus operandi as an individual, which, of course, fits well with some of his performance stuff. Some of it's where he seems to be fake is where he's supposed to be doing all the being stuff he's not really very good at. He's got the, you know, in melodrama there are certain you know, it's kind of like the physical version of emoticons, you know, where you have the I'm happy,
yeah,
I'm angry, you know,
yeah.
And he has all these different gestures that sort of are supposed to convey some true emotion, and the point of fact is he's, you know, he's going through them and telling the blonde, you know, I hate your guts, I don't ever see you again. So obviously it's not from the inside, you know. What he's feeling inside is not at all what is coming out.
Okay, so he's a doer. How about mental sex? Problem-solving style? Linear or holistic? L or from L?
I thought logical only in the sense that Sandy was saying he has, you know, for want of a better word, these advisors around him who tell him directly, solve this problem, do A and B and C, and he takes that on board. So he acts logically, even if he doesn't necessarily kind of generate that thinking himself.
Well, we see it practically the first time out. His story that he's telling because he knows if he actually tells the real story, the results will be losing the things he loves best. And when they're after the screening and she wants to say something, he steps in each time and then retires the both of them so she doesn't open her mouth to spoil the illusion. So it definitely, he's like, if she opens her mouth, it's all over. She opens her mouth, cause, effect. And of course, that's the joke at the end, is that it's like, fine. Go out there, talk. So he knows what's going to happen. And then when that sort of is twisted by the singing thing, it's like, he's like, okay, here's another cause and effect. You know, so I'll absolutely do that. If the audience sees that she's not the one singing, the illusion will be permanently broken. So yeah, that's very linear. And very linear. Okay, how about story driver, action or decision? Do actions drive decisions or decisions drive action?
Well, first of all, it seems like the objective story is driven by the studio head, RF. That's what it felt like to me, because it felt like the story shifted gears whenever RF would walk in and say, shut everything down, we're going to convert to talkies now. And then later on, you know, nothing in terms of remaking the movie as a musical leading into the third act, they really can't do anything until they get RF's permission. You know, they run it by him, and he makes the call, yes, we're going to do this. And so I'm gonna posit that things that the story has a major change in direction when RF principally makes a decision, makes a call.
You're using as examples are pretty soft, and almost all of them were preceded by a significant action.
Okay.
Success of the jazz scene.
Right. Right.
That didn't happen. Talkies wouldn't be there, so they wouldn't have to change everything. Blah 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 blah.
Okay. And the failure of the screening, which leads to the decision to remake the movie.
Right.
Because of the audience's reaction.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And you've got him jumping into the car with what's her name? You're being attacked by the mob. You know. That's an event that's pretty much connects the four through lines. It starts all the four through lines going together. Ultimately, it requires the dissolution of his, for him, you got to get rid of the bad, you got to get rid of the blonde. But she's definitely as close to an antagonist as you might have in this story. You know,
Lena.
her trumping him with the trumping them all with the publicity and saying that she's singing all this stuff and doing all this stuff and, you know, giving an exclusive interview with all of the papers. So, you know, that, and ultimately what pretty much ends that era is when you have them pull up the curtain and reveal who
that's true.
The story. There's no more conflict at that point.
You're right. That's an
because it starts off with the conflict between the two of them, between Don and
Lena.
Between Don and Lena, there's this tension through the whole thing, and of course it echoes in the performances and everybody around them. But it ultimately ends when that relationship is clearly over. And it's over because Lena's career is over. Because even though he wasn't really party to to that he really was benefiting from their relationship, so he wouldn't end it himself. He could have just let her open up her mouth, and that would have been the end of that, you know, the very beginning of the story, but he doesn't.
Right. By the way, did that actress, I can't remember the actress's name, but who played Lena, did she get any awards recognition?
I don't think so.
Because
no,
seriously,
the only one,
she had the best performance in this.
I think the only person who got an award for acting was Donald O'Connor. And he got one, a Golden Globe.
Okay. She should have. I mean, that was... the thing is, you know, she was playing a character that was entirely unlikable. And I, you know, and so, you know, I don't like the character, you know, but they should have recognized the actress.
Yeah.
For pulling that off so well. So, yeah, I can go with action.
All right. So, story limit, time lock, or option lock?
Option.
Option lock, okay. And please explain why and speak up.
Again, I don't know if everyone said option lock, but it's something like they have to decide whether which way they'll go vis-a-vis the technology, if they'll stay with the existing technology or move to talkies. And there's this question of whether they'll dump Lena. That kind of seems to be out there. The problem of Lena, sticking with Lena, this other obvious replacement comes on the scene, Kathy. That, I don't know if that's stated clearly, but obvious to the audience that she's the replacement to Lena.
Well, I think you're much closer to what I think the issues are. I think, again, it's about the relationship between these two stars, because they seem to be the big bankable stars for this particular studio. And it starts with them, everything appearing to be fantastic, and them having a hit, but they're having rocky relationship. And then, of course, the minute that Kathy steps in, she's a potential replacement who immediately gets 86'd by Lena. She makes sure that she is out of here, so that she sees the threat and she gets rid of it. That doesn't mean it's over, but that then another big threat is the talkies. And we have someone who, she can't make the transition. You know, it's rough, but he can do it. There's no way that she can, but then they figure out the whole, oh, we've got this other technique, we can do, you know, ADR. drop in somebody else's voice for her and make it much more acceptable. As well as change it from being a stuff, you know, from the nature of the actual film, which is sort of old-fashioned, to something more modern and new, being the musical, with real song, singing, and dancing with sound. And then ultimately, because she's so good at maintaining it with the contract and stuff, she pulls a fast one. It's like, okay, she can stay, but she can't, you know, she cannot do anything except my voice for the films because of my contract, and if we don't, I'll sue you. I mean, that's like, you know, each of these sort of different ways of getting rid of Lena, one by one, get defeated. And ultimately, it's Lena herself that defeats herself because of her ego. But that's the last bit. I mean, the last thing is that people know what Lena really is like. If that doesn't work, then they're stuck. But fortunately, it's quite sufficient.
Right.
It's quite sufficient to do that.
Gunther, how you doing?
Hanging in there.
All righty. Let's do story outcome. Success or failure?
Success.
All right, and we know that because...
it's a musical. it's a love story, and they... it's a love story, and they... get married.
Well, more importantly, remember the last thing, we don't know that they got married, but we do know with the big poster that something has happened.
That they've both achieved a career, like...
No, No, Lena. Lena has okay. been replaced.
Right. Lena's been, the antagonist has been vanquished.
Right. Right. She is gone. She's out of the picture and everything's, you know, back on track.
Yeah.
You know, that's what that big poster shows, is that it's him and it's Kathy, no Lena. And it's a big, you know, kind of looks like a big successful movie poster type thing, you know, billboard.
So. And actually, there's the deleted scene on the disc. They set up that billboard in a scene that was deleted. It was a, you know, song for Debbie Reynolds, and she was, yeah, it's on, I think it's on the second disc. I don't recall, but what point? It's somewhere in the midpoint when she's still uncertain about her relationship with Don, and there's, so she sings a song and she walks in front of the billboard, that same billboard, but it's got Lena on the billboard. Okay.
Okay. Well, that would even make it absolutely clear that that was the.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I'm not surprised, but yeah.
You didn't really see the title, but it was clearly because she was singing to his image in that billboard.
Oh,
okay, and then Lena was on the other side.
Well, see, that just goes to support what we had surmised as being pretty much what the goal is tied to. Okay, story judgment, good or bad?
Boy gets girl.
And they're happy about it. Yeah. They're both dreamy, eyed, and they're holding hands.
A lot of kissing.
And they're successful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's easy.
That was pretty easy. Yeah. I mean, it was a feel good musical, so a happy ending is sort of a foregone conclusion. But you need to illustrate why, rather than just saying, "Oh yeah, it's a success, good story." At least for our listeners. Okay. Now it's time to identify the through lines. Anybody have a suggestion for where the overall story may be?
I think the situation. Overall story is the situation where the talkies are coming in and people who are not adjusted to the talkies have a problem.
Okay. Well, what's stuck? A situation is something is stuck and it's external. So what is the?
She's a famous actress, but her voice doesn't go over in a new situation.
Well, that might be her, but they're able to work around that.
Well,
right?
Yeah. There's a whole. Well, think about it. Okay. This new technology, this new thing. Is problematic in the sense that they have to figure out how to work with sound.
No pounding.
Hmm?
No pounding, please.
Sound. that's why I think it's a process, which would be the activity. It's the, you know, making movies in this with this new thing that nobody's familiar with, and they don't know how to deal with it, and so they're trying to figure out how to deal with it.
Well, where do we see some of those types of things? Now, okay, before I go any further, what genre would you say this is in terms of the modes of expression? Is it comedy, entertainment, drama, or information? Huh? Entertainment with definitely some comedy.
Some comedy,
yeah. Well, do you remember the sequence when she's got they're just doing their very first scene with a microphone?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of physical comedy, you know, but she's got the, and then you see the screening with her playing with the pearls and her talking back and forth past the microphone where she, you know, that's all physical comedy. So that would also indicate that it's more likely an activity. And then, of course, most of the dances are about, not all of them, but many of them are activity, you know,
Well, making movies.
Making movies. And pratfalls and all that kind of, you know, the Donald and Connor make them laugh. It's, you know, it's entertain. And certainly the musical nature of the storytelling is entertainment, but it's always with a very light wink, you know, edge of humor to it. I don't think there's really any point where you're supposed to really treat it seriously. I mean, not that it's not dramatic, but it just is. It may be dramatic, but it's always at the most. It's comedically dramatic, but never really dramatic itself.
Well, yeah. I mean, the antagonist is antagonist because she's got this ridiculous voice,
and, right?
Okay.
So that would put the overall story in which domain?
Activity.
Okay. Anybody else? I mean, I think the only reason I wouldn't suggest it would be situation, although you could technically start looking for it and how things are changing, but I think that there are too many other things that are involved other than just how things are changing, because they've changed and it's still an issue. You know, it's like they've got to sort of adapt or die type of thing.
But you look at, you know, you definitely see gathering information or learning. You're trying to learn how to use this new technology. There's the doing. There's certainly the understanding, and then I think obtaining becomes an issue when they're all fate. He says after the horrible screening, he says that night, "Well, enjoy the house now because I'm going to put it up for auction tomorrow," because they're all facing the loss of career. I mean, that becomes the issue at that point. So obtaining or losing is definitely a plot point. And
the whole issue of getting rid of Lena is a big element of it, too.
Which is, you know, which deals with understanding. People, you know, the public's understanding of who Lena is and what's going on.
Or misunderstanding.
Well, yeah. Lena, it's
perpetuates
the misunderstanding, and now the others are trying to correct it.
Right.
So I think those are, you see all those, I think, very clearly in some order. That's, I think, fairly predictable.
And where do we have our main character?
At the situation, then.
Yeah. I mean, he's a doer, so that would make him situation. But look at, I don't know if it's going to end up this way, but, you know, the past is certainly, we certainly see a big dose of that in the first act. You know, we're seeing basically his backstory. Now, that may not be, you know, that's his backstory. That might not be what we're exploring in the course of this, but that really is a pretty big dose of, here's where I came from, you know, and the juxtaposition between, and this is why it's a problem for him, he's got a past that is, the apparent
doesn't match his image.
Doesn't match his image.
Which speaks to situation.
His reputation.
His status is what's at stake for him personally.
Right.
And his image, it's his career status.
Right.
I mean, that's really, career status is kind of universal for everybody, but I think in particular
for him.
But he's
the only one who we know personally how it is so radically different.
Right.
You know, that's the one thing about Lena. She doesn't hide where she's from or who she is. She doesn't talk with a phony accent. She doesn't put on airs. She does a little bit at the end, but, you know, she's not trying to hide it. Particularly Don is trying to hide it. Because she doesn't do anything to hide it, and it will have such a negative effect on them. Go ahead.
And it really struck me, seeing it just now, is the singing in the rain sequence, to me, speaks to the present. Whatever, it's probably signpost 3, I would guess. Because he's totally, he's the whole point of the song is, I am happy right here and now. Because they finally figured out what to do. He just kissed the girl, and he's, you know, blown in the air, and that's...
it doesn't matter how bad or intemperate the environment is, he's happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it doesn't matter what things are outside.
It's not about the future. It's not about the past. It's just about being happy right here and now.
So then you've got the relationship of manipulation, which is completely perfect. I mean, you have her being very direct, but not really. Remember, she's telling him how inconsequential film is and how he doesn't do anything. Nothing but a shadow on a screen.
Well, I think that speaks to her impact as a
but also in the manipulation of them and their relationship to one another, because she wants to get in the film biz too. And then, you know, the last scene, he certainly is manipulating her to perform against her will, but it turns out it works out because she doesn't understand where he's coming from. But it's absolutely, you know, he's trying to use his position and power or whatever, but trying to manipulate their relationship, trying to make it stronger and or work for him. And, you know, and they're falling in love, but there's a lot both ways. She's saying things she doesn't mean to get a reaction out of him, or vice versa, him more so than her. But she's the first one who pulls that particular technique when she makes evaluations of his performance, etc. Remember, she says, I may have seen one of them, and one of your movies, and they're all alike, and you're just all this and that, and nothing important. And that has a real, you know, real impact on him, that her attitude, but it also, it's the beginning of, because it's a lie and it's a manipulation, it's trying to, maneuver her position relative to him. Because she's, you know, he's a big star, and she's a wannabe, and it levels the playing field a bit. And then, of course, when he discovers who she is, he immediately turns around and, oh, so I see, you don't want to be this and that and the other. You know, so he starts pulling it back to her, you know, and literally trying to, you know, get her out of doing what she's doing. Come with me type thing. Not realizing if the antagonist is going to get take care of it for him. Got her now. She's got her number. And then we've got Kathy in Fixed Attitude, and she's got this idea of what it means to be an actor, and what is quality, and what integrity. I mean, you know, all the things that he what's the word? It's not integrity. It's
dignity.
Dignity. Always dignity. You know, she is completely dignified. She does, you know, she'll do anything, but she always does it with integrity and with dignity, even if it's jumping out of a cake. You know, she's doing this job, and she's putting her heart into it. And so she pretty much embodies that thing that he's just giving lip service to. And I think that's where you see him really him changing, is that this thing that he was giving lip service to at the beginning, you know, whether it's dignity or you want to call it integrity.
I think integrity would have been a better word.
Yeah, I think so too. That actually he starts to act on that and actually does act with integrity, which is what brings her back.
She does participate in the fraud, though, of singing after performing covering Lena's voice.
But that's not a problem, because remember, all of filmmaking is make-believe. It's all about taking something that's not real and making it look real. So if you don't give it that conceit, then the whole thing doesn't work. You know, so you can be a real person and do your best, but she wasn't trying to say, she wasn't at all saying this is her singing, this is what's her name talking and singing, but the fantasy is what people are seeing in the movie, not the real people. And the problem is, at the beginning, both Don and Lena are trying to make the fantasy, particularly Lena, trying to make the fantasy into the reality by saying that they're a couple and that they're engaged and all. You're reading those tabloids, they'll stop believing what they're reading, you know, because she's the one who's feeding all that information anyway. So it's that, you know, that's part of the whole thing. It's just that the make-believe does not necessarily lead to honest representation. And, you know, doing ADR, voiceover, or voice replacement, that's part of the magic.
It's only a problem because the antagonist makes it a problem.
Right, right. And even though she's doing it, she's willing to live, you know, abide by her contract. She understands that the world works is that you get a job and you get paid and they do what they tell you to do because that's what you're being paid for. And if it's something you don't like, well, then you wait until the contract's over and you don't sign up again. But, that's kind of that world. And so I don't know that looking at the... she's not... If someone didn't walk up to her and say, doesn't the way she sing, fabulous? I didn't realize she could sing. And she went, oh, yes, that's her. She's a wonderful singer. That would have been a real test, because I don't think she would have answered that. She might not have said anything, or broken down crying and ran away or something. But she definitely seems to have that, this is the way I see the world viewpoint, and that's what has not only the freshness, but the integrity of it is what sort of pounds away at Don. And it's interesting because the little story within the story about the young hoofer who comes to New York and, he's got to dance. That's his, he's got that attitude. And then he slowly gets seduced away from his original goal and turns into very big and famous, but lost his sort of soul until he walks out and a new boy comes up and says, I got to dance. And so, he finds his roots and says, we gotta dance, that whole thing. I think that's sort of in miniature, trying to sort of mimic what the journey was for Don.
So there actually was some story content in that scene.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
To me, it was completely void of any meaning.
I think it was about as complicated as I just mentioned it.
Okay, yeah.
it's mostly about entertainment, and for the most part, story stops at the door, and then started up again once that was over. But I think that because it's not the character we're watching, but that is a character that's similar. It's similar to it, but not the same. Kind of like a little parallel parable in the middle of it. Okay. So now, let's look at the concerns. Go into that area again. So let's. Anybody have any hankerings, any ideas about it?
I got a hankering.
Okay.
Anyone else have a hankering? The one point on the chart that I gravitated to first was census. Okay.
I didn't get that.
Census on the thematic census versus interpretation, because in terms of the objective story, it's all about the problematic area is Lena's voice and how grating it is. Going up a level, it's about understanding, because even you had said earlier that that part of the issue there is the public's understanding of Lena and who's doing what, the publicity and trying to counter that publicity, and so dealing with all these understandings. And certainly you see that even at the beginning when RF screens that really, really freaking creepy guy with the really bad teeth.
Yeah.
Oh my God, where did they get that? And he's starting to say, this is the new technology, and people say, oh, it'll flop. It's Warner Brothers is going to fail, and they're going to lose their shirts. And so there's all this understanding about what talkie technology is going to lead to, and then, of course, that understanding is upended. Now they have to gain a new understanding of how this is all going to work. And so it seems that I'm making the argument that understanding is probably the concern from sort of beginning to end. But underneath senses, you see actuality perception, which is very strong, and aware and self-aware, which certainly deals with the antagonist.
Yeah.
Then I look and say, okay, well, if it's understanding under the objective story, which I think is very strong, then can we make an argument for the main character concern being in the past?
Well, that one I think is pretty easy.
Because beyond the first act.
No, well, right, but the thing is that we see it. I mean, the thing is, his past does not at all match up to who he is. What he's thought of as, his status.
Mm-hmm.
He was a no one. you know,
he's in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, he worked and he slept and he did all the things that are necessary to slowly get up and, you know, and he was not, I mean, he happened to be the right place at the right time, but he wasn't just happened to be there. He was, you know, playing a violin or whatever he was playing, that, you know, doing background mood music, and, you know, was able to step in. Now, but where do we see that after the first act? Because that clearly is first act stuff, but where do we...
See, I think it's kind of implicit, and it's not, they're not making a strong emotional point of it. But if they wanted to explore the emotional arc of the main character more, they would have him express angst about the fact that he's, you know, his career right now is teetering because, you know.
Well, that big dance sequence does that.
Which one is
the one? You know, the God of Dance thing. That does thematically sort of talk to those, you know, his past, what he did.
Okay.
His historical journey type thing for him personally. But I don't know. And, of course, you know, he also is dealing with one of the things he's concerned about being a has-been. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as the talkies come out, and even what she says to him makes him sound like he's obsolete, like he's old, he's not going to transition well. The whole idea that they're doing these old historical drama things that is not being received well, you know, so it's like these things that he's attracted to not only just seem to be a bit problematic, but of course it's a comedy, and they kind of establish what he is, and then they pretty much go away from his personal stuff for the most part.
That's what I'm saying. If they wanted to explore his personal angst more deeply, then I think it would speak to the past. But they,
you do see a little bit in him, you know, how things are changing,
the
present, the future. So you absolutely do see those beats. You just don't necessarily see his goal constantly being harped on.
Yeah, you know, they don't talk a lot about the future. You know, progress is there, but I'm not sure that feels like a, you know, beginning to end concern. It's in there, but. If I were just to pick that, if I were just to go straight to main character concern, I would not be able to pinpoint one of any of those four.
Right. Okay. How about memories?
In the sense that she made an impact on him, and he can't forget her.
Being memorable.
Yeah, being memorable. You know, Donald, or Cosmo, I guess his name was, you know, points out, what? That was 3 weeks ago and you're still thinking about her? And it's sort of like, I can't get her out of my mind kind of thing. Beyond that, I don't really have an argument for memories.
And what about developing a plan and a relationship?
I think it's just developing the relationship. Can see a little bit of playing a role, and you know, a little bit of changing one's nature, conceiving, but it's sort of, they're trying to conceptualize how they can be, and it's constructive relationship, you know, it's they're coming together as opposed to
right destructive, you know,
right, and it really seems to be just about how they can work together and be together. And be the kind of couple that Don and Lena were not, because it seems like it has to do. It's sort of there's a perception, of course, out there that Don and Lena are a couple, but they're sort of trying to conceptualize how they can be a couple in the, you know, in reality,
real sense, right.
In a real sense, to replace that that public falsehood.
Well, no, not really. No, in fact, I don't think they're trying to replace the public falsehood. They're trying to have a real relationship while maintaining the public falsehood, because there is a value objectively in, you know, having Don and Lena be the, you know, this power couple in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Lena's doing everything she can to make sure that personal relationship that he's trying to develop with her ends. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What I like about being there, though, is I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure which one of those, I guess if I pick senses, it would be situation, which is, for their relationship, which is interesting because it's a situational element. He's somebody and she's kind of a nobody. And so how can those two come together? But what I really like is state of being and sense of self, because I think that's something about one of those two speaks to the singing in the rain sequence. State of being, I think.
Right.
Maybe a catalyst or something, but feels like that.
I mean, I think also if you look at memories with truth, falsehood, evidence, and suspicion, for her, the things that are of greater concern to her, and she, you know, the very first thing she's telling them is lies.
Yeah.
You know, essentially. Yeah. And then truth and falsehood, getting caught and having to sort of come clean, and then him telling, you know, so I think that fits well with where she is.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have any?
We're done.
Yeah, we're pretty getting pretty close. Okay,
you don't have to agree with me. I totally open to other arguments.
Well, let's do this. Let's look and see where that all adds up, because I think that's going to, you know, potentially bring us to a close.
Yeah,
that's a short one.
Why the shortest podcast ever? Maybe not. There was that one that stopped recording in the middle. So, I'm going to have to ask you all, when you do speak, please speak up. It's just a nightmare trying to go between me, who's 2 inches from the microphone, and you guys who are 5 feet, and it's like... So, if you would, I'm not going to speak as loudly as I normally do. I'm not going to try to project. Let's see. I'm going to bring up Dramatica.
While you're doing that, are you going to be?
How could you put suggestions before me if the film is already made?
It's not completed. He's it's a rough cut. And he's planning to do reshoots.
So
it's in progress. So it's film in progress.
I plan to come back next week.
Okay. Do you want to watch in advance, or do you want to come early next week and watch it?
I'm an excuse my reshoot.
Are you?
Unfortunately, I won't be able to make next week.
Okay. So, if you change your mind, you can come at like 5 o'clock, and we'll screen it here. For those who don't have copies. So.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So here we are. We're in the overall story through line, and we've gotten down to 16 story forms. We're trying to get down to one. The choices we have, we were talking about senses as being, that was your choice for issue.
Yeah, that's, I haven't seen a film recently that makes a thematic issue out of senses. What you see and hear, right, than this one does.
Well, I know, especially with the sound and the speaking. I mean, I think that's absolutely right. So then we have actuality. Oh, before we do that, this also, because of our choices, means that our main character growth is stopped. Anybody have some ideas? Hold off for a sec. Let's see if anybody else can say something. Speak up.
Just that he has to stop he's forced to be from circumstances because of Lisa and Lena's voice. He has to stop his relationship with her, his professional relationship with her, in order to continue.
Sure, that's a little bit it, but think a little more along those lines. Mm-hmm. But literally, what behavior does he need to quit in order to even begin to change? That's what growth is about. In a stop, it's about there's some sort of problematic behavior as a change character. It's got to come from, it's kind of like, you know, it's got to get over it. Stop doing something.
Well, we've been talking about him sort of pretending about his past. But I don't see him particularly advertising the fact that he's not doing that anymore.
Right. But how do we see... We see very specific examples of if he didn't do something, things would move along a lot faster for him. But he keeps on doing something that holds his development back.
He needs to stop making fun of Kathy Seldon's integrity.
No, I think it's, I mean, you know, look at his behavior with Lena. He keeps on stopping Lena from sort of... From speaking or from doing things that will just automatically explode. And he steps in because it protects his status, his career. So he is always inserting himself in there. Mm. And if he... he needs to learn to let that go, which of course is what happens at the end. And in fact, he opens it up and it you know, he's able to let it all hang out, so to speak.
Right.
But that's that little protective thing that he's unwilling to stop.
Charade with her.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, and I think that speaks to his character where he actually needs to grow. Because if he can't get past that, he'll never make it with Kathy. You know, because that's part of the thing that really brings his integrity into question. You know, it really is very self-serving and not at all allowing him to share or allow the reality to show up. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I think that was a... It is there. I didn't want to bring it up earlier because I didn't know where we were going to end up. But that, to me, seemed to be a pretty obvious one where you just tell the character, just stop, right now, stop, zip, you know, but they don't, and the problem perpetuates. Because there's lots of things he could have done to really get rid of Lena if he really wanted to. But he never... He never takes that step until the end. So it takes a lot of growth for him to get past that, to grow out of that. Okay, so we have our choices for problem, solution, symptom, and response in no particular order are actuality, perception, awareness, and self-awareness. Any votes for problem or... symptom?
Problem is perception.
Problem is perception.
Because Sandy already said everything. Well, it could be either way. I mean, the solution is clearly either actuality or probably aware. I mean, you could make an argument that the solution is awareness.
But I think the whole thing is trying to keep the public perception, what's really going on objectively, and his own personal perception of how he's perceived. I think he can move together.
All right, well, let's try that. Perception. So we say the problem is perception.
And then, you know, pulling the curtain is the actuality. This
right,
is what's really
that's the real thing behind the curtain. Yes. Ignore the man behind the curtain. Okay, wow, we're down to wet story form. Ta-da! Okay, so now we'll look at the report and pull up the actual... story guide report.
Tonight,
pardon me?
You're ahead of schedule tonight.
Well, I don't know. We're not done yet. Okay, so our main character, we have situation. He's concerned with the past. His issue of prediction versus interdiction. Problem of perception. Solution of actuality. Symptom of change. And response of inertia. So he's going to be, when he sees threats to change, he tries to continue things the way they are, which is, you know, that works really well in terms of his performance and his, you know, wanting to try to keep things along the same path. And of course, that looks good. His unique ability is fate, that's sort of being in the right place at the right time.
It's true.
And I think that's absolutely, you know, because he's got a good voice and he can sing, and it's at a point where he's already in place with his skills as a, and being famous, but when the talkies come in, he really does have a way to make things work in the bigger picture. We haven't talked about what that is quite yet. And then his critical flaw is falsehood, which is, I mean, we see that right up front with all those lies that he's telling. And then, you know, it seems to be his particular weakness. So the signpost one is the past.
Yeah, yay.
And
this is an exercise. If we just undid that choice and then see where the signposts are and what before we choose one or the other. I mean, that looks pretty good. I'm just wondering if, because sometimes when you look at the signposts, sometimes you haven't gotten down the one story form, but you still see, you know, a particular order in one or more of the through lines. And you know, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, I think you should that on your own time.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, let's look at the overall story, since that's the other one we seem to know pretty well. We have a through line is activity, so, you know, making movies and transitioning from silent to soundies. Concern of understanding this new technology and all the misunderstandings created by publicity and relationships between, you know, what's really going on in the lives of the stars, etc. The issue of senses versus interpretation, well, we chose that. So, you know, really, literally, hearing problems with what you hear, her voice being a really significant one, or not being able to hear what, or the conflict between what you see and what you hear, and what you can, you know, there's no taste or smell or really touch seems to be. It seems pretty much a sight and sound kind of issue. And the problem is perception, which, again, we chose that, so that makes it pretty easy. The solution, actuality, you know, show things the way, lift the curtain, show the way things really are, and that'll solve whatever inequities that are technically supposedly there, and it does.
Right, solves the problem of Lena, which is a problem of perception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only Lena's perception of herself and her worth, but everybody else's perception of Lena and herself, and perpetuation of that perception is what's problematic.
Right, and the part of the problem is that she's, because of that perception, she has way too much power.
Right.
Over the studio and over everybody else.
Now, the catalyst, interesting, instinct, and I think that's where you get, you know, Kathy coming in and Don, they each, not Don,
Cosmo,
thank you. Cosmo, you know, they all have really good instincts in terms of, well, this is not going to work, and how can we, you know, make it better? And I think these peripheral characters, the support characters, come in with that, you know, really good or strong instincts, or in certain cases, some really bad instincts, and that creates a lot more conflict both ways. You know, moves the story forward. Learning is the, sense of self is the inhibitor, and you certainly see that with Lena. You know, she's got a huge sense of self, very self-important, and that kind of, especially the whole thing with the publicity and the contract, and you can't do anything because I can sue you, that really slows down progress in the story, you know.
And Don is wondering about himself also.
Right, right, and yeah. Whether or not they're actually going to, you know, are they going to make it? Are they going to get rid of this, you know, hag, dinosaur? Then we have, and of course at the end, the last signpost is obtaining, which I think is probably, not only do they get a big, you know, big successful movie, but they also get rid of Lena. We've got the impact character, a fixed attitude. You know, we're talking about Kathy, and being memorable, check. She's such a memorable character that you can't forget her. And I think that's a really good take on that, actually. That's where you don't necessarily have the character be an attribute of the character, but attributed to that character. And that's just as valuable and effective for any story point. So I think it seems to be the most important one. I mean, even the other directors remember her. He used her before. Evidence versus Suspicion. That one you see a lot with her in terms of she's constantly looking at what evidence is, you know, what things are showing and are they support? Am I being, you know, is this a sham or am I really on the right path? You know, when she gets evidence that appears to put, you know, sort of damning evidence for Don, you know, she acts on that, you know, when she gets fired for the, you know, by what she doesn't realize is that it's by Lena, but, you know, so you can't work. And each one of these things, it works to her, you know, to...
Think about this way also.
Her concern, I heard.
Part of what's at issue is her whole attitude, of course, about, you know, oh, you know, film actors are not all that, but, you know, you want... you know, to be a real actor, you have to have the great lines, the, you know, you have to have the Shakespeare, you have to be on stage, and clearly there's a lack of evidence that she's you know, talking her walk, that she's you know, he's kind of pointing out the evidence of you know, contradicts what you were saying, this attitude that you had expressed earlier.
Right.
It doesn't become a, you know, negative issue, but it still sort of raises the impact level.
Right. And then, of course, you've got what's nice is her problem is desire. So she's driven by, she wants this strong desire to better herself and better her career. And that's her drive, since it's a problem, but she's a steadfast character, so it's seen as her drive, not as something that is causing a difficulty for her. Her symptom, self-aware. So that if you asked her what the problem is, that she'd say people are far too concerned with what they think of themselves, and they really need to be aware of what's going on around them. And I think you absolutely see that, and you know, she is part of that too. And where do we have a unique ability is truth. That's nice. And her critical flaw is destiny. Not sure where that would come in necessarily.
Well, okay. One action that she takes that could be perceived as screwing up is throwing the pie in Lena's face. Which sets Lena up to say, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this girl doesn't work this town again.
Yeah,
okay. So I'm going to try to screw up her destiny. So it's the destiny of this girl who's trying to steal Don away and threw the pie in Lena's face is at question. It's
at risk, and
Don there's a risk that Don could sort of go down, you know, sink with her,
right?
By
okay.
his association with her. So
hey, I like it. And of course, the signpost for his innermost desires, and that's when, you know, the tears come and all of that, like, oh, you know, where it looks like emotionally that they're really, the love part comes, and that definitely is the core of the act. Okay, and then we have our relationship through line, manipulation, developing a plan. We've spoken to those. The issue of situation, which you actually were describing in terms of these two are, they're together, but they are way different positions in their career, in the status of the Hollywood celestial world.
Pantheon,
yeah. You've got the star and you have a dust mote. And there we go with the problem of inequity. Perfect. The imbalance between their positions, the imbalance between their power. You know, he can do whatever he wants. She's pretty much at the whim of what what everybody around them, you know, whether it's Lena firing her for a perceived problem or whatever. But that is an issue. It also is a spark. It's something that drives them too. You know, it's something that creates fire between them, that there's this imbalance, which ultimately, by bringing back to equity, at the end, when he says to her...
They are completely equitable on that billboard.
Yes. Right. And
because she's challenging him anyway. She's not... She's at least superficially seeming to not recognize the power he's initially.
Right, right.
So we're looking at two different things.
Right.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with self-aware and aware.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do too. Where the, you know, you think you know who you are, but let me tell you what everybody else thinks.
I'm powerful and famous, and I'm not impressed.
Right.
That kind of overlooking.
Yeah, exactly.
I suggested a situation, and you said it's a comedy, and why would that change into activity?
Excellent question. Well, when you're looking at the domains,
yep.
You know, whether it's situation or activity, and if you look at it in terms of a genre, like comedy, they'll look different. A situation comedy is a comedy where the comedy grows out of sort of the status of things, how things are or how things are stuck. It's like being, you know, the typical situation comedy is like a guy living with two women,
yeah.
You know, and in order to be there and not get in trouble, he's pretending to be gay.
Yeah.
All right, that's a situation. You know, you unstick it.
Because you have a landlord.
Who won't allow a straight man to live with two straight women.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, whereas if you have a physical comedy, then you're dealing with lots of physical gags and pratfalls, and the movie is full of them. You know, all sorts of funny gags that are growing from people doing something. You know, as I said, one of the... Other than... You know, make them laugh. That entire song is one big physical comedy with pratfalls and all that kind of stuff. The scene where they are having trouble recording.
But where does that change the?
It doesn't change the domain. What it does is the domain look, but comedy looks different in the different domains. So if you look at the movie and you say, "Do I see?" Situation comedy in the big picture, or do I see more physical comedy in the big picture? And this one we saw a lot more physical comedy. It would indicate it's another way of trying to kind of end up at the same place.
Yeah.
So it's just another way to see, look for evidence. And I think that's why I suggested
that. Right. I get you now. Thank
you. Sure. Now we have our state of being as the catalyst. That's what you're looking for. You know, the singing in the rain.
The fact that they make each other happy. Again, it's a positive, constructive relationship, and that seems to move things forward.
Right, and the inhibitor is conditioning. So when it's sort of like back to the normal,
surrounding conditioning. Studio, who's on top and all that kind of
right, and behaving in sort of a conditioned fashion. What are you expected to do? Like the him ordering her to perform, and she'll do it. But boy, does that put at that moment, you know, the relationship's like on full stop. Until she, you know, it's worked over and the conflict is revealed and released. But that's a perfect example where she's conditioned to, okay, we're in this relationship and in this kind of I'm the star, you're the star, I'm the underling, you're tied to the boss, I have to follow what you say, but understand that's killing our relationship. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, it's over, you know. And interesting, signpost 4 in the relationships playing a role. Well, that's perfect for actually her part of the relationship where she's just the voice.
Yeah.
You know, she's not a real person anymore for her, and he's got to pretend to be back playing. You know, Don, whatever his name is. You know the superstar, but it's only a pretense. know, and then it ultimately it was resolved out. I think this worked out really nicely.
Did you already talked about this, I may have zoned out, but the main character prediction versus interdiction is the issue. What was
I was very fast in skipping over that.
Ah, okay. So I did so
gotcha.
Definitely interdiction, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, Jim?
Well, that was all I was going
to
say.
Well, definitely interdiction what?
Well, just all the things he tries to do to avoid being found out. Or
yes.
The same sort of stuff he does.
Well, I mean, you could attribute that to prediction in that I predict a career downfall if I don't play my cards right or something to that effect. I mean, again, it gets back to, well, you know, enjoy this house now because it's going to go on the auction block. So I, you know, the only time he really shows any angst, I think, is in the house. And he says, well, you know, what she said to me that, you know, first time was true. I'm just a shadow. I'm not, you know. And so what he's kind of doing is predicting that he's a has-been. And then,
that the reality. Well, I think what he's doing is he's basically saying that the perception is going to be revealed. The actuality is going to be revealed. The perception is going to disappear, and I'm not going to have anything at that point. He sees it still at that point as a problem. You know, he's starting to get to that. You know, he's not really quite there yet, but he's really getting a lot closer to really perceiving that perception. Perception is the problem, not the, you know, it's not a good thing. It's a bad thing.
Right. Right.
Because I mean, he always knows. We know from the very first time he opens his mouth that perception is not reality. And perception is dangerous and opens itself up to conflict. Because if somebody finds out the reality, what's going to happen to him.
Right, which is, it's really interesting that he would perpetuate this story that, oh, my parents took me to all the best art schools, and I was like, but the fact that you came up from nothing and you know, and danced in pool halls for money is a much better story. It makes you much more of a hero.
But it doesn't, right, but it does not jive with his history. And that's the problem.
I mean, the history of who he is as a character.
And who he is as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't, it doesn't jive with it. So every time he's putting out this phony story, the real story is going on in his head about what really happened. And if his story he puts out is phony, if his past is phony, then his relationships, like with the Donald O'Connor, Cosmo, are artificial as well. They have to sort of be maintained this artificial relationship because he's, you know, he was a key part in why Don made it. And yet he certainly is not. Yeah, Cosmo is a key part in why Don made it. And Cosmo's not really given his due until sort of the very end. And it has nothing to do with Don giving it to him. It's, you know, the studio head recognizes his importance. You know, so it's very interesting because even at that point, Don doesn't step up and say, hey, you ought to make this guy the head of the musical department. You know, he's still worrying about his own.
Number one.
Yeah. So I like this.
Mm.
I like very it. Good. I think this is an excellent story for him. Very good, Sandy. Excellent.
Well, it was a group effort.
It was.
It may have been a group effort, but I think that you you were acting as protagonist, and I think everybody here is very happy to be on that team.
This podcast was brought to you by Wright Brothers, creators of software for writers since 1982. Visit us at www.screenplay.com and www.dramatica.com.